Look, I'm going to read the last poem today, but this is actually 3 1/4 pages. Is that too long? How about if I read half of it today and half next week? Okay. You tell me.
It was 5 or 6 pages long.
No, it's only this. The only reason I want to read this is because it's just a small group tonight, and thank you, by the way, for reading. Thank you for reading, and thank you for reading. I went up to Boston, and I saw 6,000, over 6,000 dog tags hanging on a fence, and they had them up there representing the soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan and Iraq, and it's a lot of kids, a lot of young men. And the war's going on for 13 years, and those deafening words, mission accomplished. Okay. Anyway, I don't know if anyone in this room's been at war before, but some of you I know are old enough to remember a couple of the wars. And this is called Becoming a Man. I was reading Celine's book, Journey to the End of the Night, and I fell asleep, the book heavy on my chest. I woke half asleep at dark in the morning and was back 40 years ago in Benoit. I remember working the tires and looking over the fence line through my binoculars. I was in the tire for over too many hours alone with too much time, silence and prayer and thought and masturbation. Nobody will tell you, but when you're alone with silence, you pray, and sometimes you play with yourself. It wasn't entirely my fault, because I would look beyond the barbed wire at the Buddhist temple, and I'd see the bald-headed monk with long white and gold robes. They always walk slowly with their heads down, always, always with their heads down in the white temple, and I think they would go inside to pray. At least that's what I believe monks did when they went into the temple. But sometimes someone on Buddha Hill would shoot at us, and I can still remember the sound of the whiz of a bullet and the crack of the rifle. I was glad that whoever was shooting was a bad aim, or maybe I wouldn't be writing this poem. But who knows? Anyway, it wasn't all that bad sitting for hours in the tire all alone because there was silence, except for the F-100s and Cobras, and the sound of the roar goes away, except inside your head, you always hear the roar. Anyways, I'd sneak dirty magazines with me and hide them under the sandbags. Me and my relief knew where the magazines were hidden, and we never told anyone, because if the brass found out, they would surely court-martial you and send you away for dereliction of duty. They would probably accuse you of thumping yourself, but only a fool would admit to self-pounding. Now, as I said, it wasn't my fault. The young girl in the rice paddy surely must share some of the blame. Every day she'd come out into the field and work, and there was always water buffaloes and hot sun. It seemed nearly like it was endless green water all the way up to Buddha Hill and the White Temple, almost like a postcard. Except for the barbed wire, it was picture perfect. I would watch the girl for hours. She was such beauty and grace. She had long silk black hair that hung down her back, touching the top of her ass cheeks. She would bend over all day. Hours led to hours picking rice. I watched her. Sometimes during the day, she would pull down her black silk pants and pee right into the green water. It was beautiful, and she was beautiful, and I'd watch through the binoculars and thought, she's not my enemy. She is to everything, and if given a chance, I would fall in love with her. I'd even take her home with me. When this stupid war was over, and I bet she'd love America, I watched till my eyes grew tired and continued to watch her pulling the rice under the all-day sun. She was beautiful. Sometimes she would take off all of her clothes off, and she would wash herself in the green water. She would pull her white blouse over her head, long, skinny arms, and she was golden, small breasts, skinny, long, silk black hair, and then she would pull off her black pants and hung them on the back of the water buffalo. I'd watch as she raised her long, thin arms and wash her pits, and then she would wash her small breasts. She had skinny legs and a small patch of hair. She was so beautiful and earthy. I was so young, and even in war you can find love. Young boys in war think of girls and home, as they say, apple pie. One day the colonel came riding up in his Jeep. Everyone knew him because of his eagles and his white hair. I was afraid of him. I didn't really like him. 10 months earlier, he had put me in jail because I drank too much Vietnamese beer. He let me sleep it sober, but he threatened to keep me in jail if he ever caught me drunk again. And he made me clean the shit houses and fill sandbags. And he didn't take my one stripe, and I guess he could have had it if he wanted, but he probably felt sorry for me because I had pimples. But I'm not really sure why, and never will, because it's not like he'd ever tell me, and it's not like he ever remember letting me keep my one stripe. Anyway, I slid down the 60-foot tire. When he pulled up with his Jeep, I cracked my best salute because I knew colonels like to be saluted. But to tell you the truth, I thought it was a crock of shit, but I saluted anyway. I don't remember too much about our conversation, except I didn't want him climbing up the tire. I figured he'd look around and find the dirty magazine. And of course, there would be inquiry. We made small talk, and I remember he remembered putting me in jail. I asked him just one question, and I remember even after 40 years, I asked, "Colonel, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes, what is your question?" I asked, "Am I a man yet?" He winked and saluted as he drove away, smiled and shook his head. I returned the salute and climbed back up the tire, all proud, picked up my binoculars. I felt the weight on my chest of Celine's book and looked for the beautiful woman. Thank you. Thank you for tolerating me tonight. Thank you, man.